She had to go into surgery and they had to graft bone to recreate her skull because it was busted in so badly. When she finally healed a little bit, they were in court and they were gonna serve this guy a restraining order to stay away from the girl. When they did, she started crying. No, you cannot do that to my boyfriend. I listened to that, I thought, man, it wasn't your skull that needs help, it's underneath the skull that needs more help.
Welcome to Words of New Hope from New Hope Christian Fellowship, pastored by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, Pastor Wayne has a message that will examine the heart of King David, who God described as a man after my own heart. Let me ask you this, would it be cool to have God say that about you or what? Well, today we'll see what it takes to have that perfect heart that the Bible speaks of, a heart that seeks to follow after God. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Directing Our Hearts.
Hey, I want to talk about our hearts today. I want to talk about, because the Bible says God looks on the heart, not on the outer. But the heart is so hard to define, to kind of get your, you know, mind around it. It's sort of like the word love. Love is used for so many definitions. The word love, oh, I mean, I love you and I love the dog. And I love to eat and this. The other week I was watching this guy, it must have been the brother. His sister was on this fence and she was kind of balancing in the playground. You know how brothers are, they're shaking the fence. And he was saying, I would love to see you fall. And she was getting all mad. She said, if I fall, I would love to punch your head. You know, the word love is just used in so many different ways. And the word heart is like that too. It's sort of like love somebody with all your heart. Worship God with all your heart. But he's got a worldly heart. He's got a bad heart. So, you know, he's got a deceived heart. He's got a straying heart, a wandering heart. And so the word heart is so difficult, especially when you realize that there is the physical heart that you can see. And then there's the true heart that you cannot see. And sometimes it's mentioned the same breath, you know, your heart. But what are you talking about? It's hard to kind of catch what they're talking about. Some time ago on PBS, I was watching a video, a procedure of an open heart surgery on television. You know, remember those? I won't do that again. Whew. But I watched this thing and I'm glad I did. Because even though it is a brutal thing, this open heart surgery and the way they change hearts, even though it's a brutal, messy kind of thing, I was fascinated by this miraculous creation called the heart. I mean, it's muscular, left and right chambers pump blood throughout our bodies without reminder. And although it has many parts, it acts as a whole or it does not act at all. And it's almost as if as I was watching this, God was using a physical illustration to correlate spiritual principles. Like the heart has to be acting as a whole. It has to be whole or it doesn't act at all. For example, you can pull out a spleen or a kidney, one of the kidneys, or you can pull out your appendix and your body keeps going. You can't pull out your heart, even half a heart, and expect the body to be going. It has to act as a whole, though it has many parts. If you remove it, there is no life to the whole body. And it's almost as if the Lord is saying, that's the same, it's true with a marriage or a family or a relationship or a church. Without the heart, you can have the body, but there's no life. In fact, in America, the number one killer today is, guess what? Heart disease. That's right. Heart disease. And it's again as if the Lord is saying the same correlates with the unseen heart. Maybe one of the greatest diseases in churches and in families and in relationships and in countries is heart disease, but not physical. Heart disease. Our hearts are in the wrong place. We value the wrong things. But I was looking at watching this surgeon, and as intricate as the surgeon's deft fingers were in working on this heart, I thought, you know what? God's workings are deeper still. Because I was thinking, the surgeon can locate damaged tissue. The surgeon can locate blocked vessels. But the surgeon cannot pinpoint the place in your heart that falls in love. The surgeon cannot pinpoint the place in your heart that chooses to sin. The surgeon cannot find that place in your heart that cries out in fear. He can't find that place in that heart that desires to worship God. Can't find it. It's hidden from him. Hidden. But it's not hidden from God. Because you see, God can touch those places with laser-like accuracy whenever he chooses. But it's the unseen heart. There's a physical heart that's seen, but there's something much more eternal and much more important, and that's the unseen heart. And sometimes the physical will correlate with the spiritual. But when God looks at the heart, which one does he look at? Not the outer, he looks on the inner of the heart. Yeah. And that's where God evaluates how our destiny is going, how our condition is, our spiritual condition. How healthy are we? How healthy are our families? How healthy are our churches? That's the heart that he looks at. And you can't take out half of it. You can't serve him with a half a heart. You must serve him with a whole heart. There are many parts to a heart, but it must act as a whole, not as individual parts. And I thought, if God, if you're looking at that heart, and that's what you evaluate our futures with, our health with, and how we stand before you, that's more important than anything else. Lord, is there a way, knowing that heart disease is the number one killer in America, are you correlating that to maybe the inner heart, the spiritual heart, the unseen heart? Maybe that's a major killer among us and churches and families as well, heart disease. We don't put our heart into our rearing our families anymore. Our heart is missing from our marriage. Our heart's missing from worship. Our heart is missing from ministry or whatever God's called us to do. Lord, is there a way that we can strengthen that heart? Not the physical as much as the hidden heart, because that's what you're looking at. Is there a way? Is there a way to perfect that heart? And then I was reading about David, and it said David was a man after God's own heart. I thought, wow, you mean to tell me that we can match your heart and ours? In fact, it said David walked before the Lord with a perfect heart. I said, God, could you instruct us like you instructed David? And it said in David, who had a perfect heart, who walked with God before God with a whole heart, David, who was a man after God's own heart, in the book of Acts, it says that David influenced his generation. And I thought, Lord, maybe you're waiting for people with perfect hearts, people with whole hearts, people who put their hearts back to where it should be, because if it's missing, there's no life. It could be activity, but there's no life. Lord, maybe you're saying something to us. Lord, is there a way that you instructed David in order to strengthen his heart and have a perfect heart? Can you instruct us too? Because if you're looking at that more than the outer, man, we need some instruction there. Lord, would you give us the makings of a perfect heart today? And as I was reading through the scriptures, I saw some things that helped me so much, and I thought, I've got to share that with the church. So this is so incredibly important. If you're married, this is really important. If you're a young man or a young woman thinking about dating, extremely important to you. In fact, I said to my daughter, Abby, who's 17, I said, I want you to sit in all five services and hear this one here. And then when you go to sleep, I'm going to put a CD and put it on your ear so you hear it in your dreams. You got to catch this. It's so important. And the sooner you realize this and start to build this, the better. Because it's tough to have to redo something that was done wrong after you build a wall incorrectly to try and redo it again. It's tougher. So this is so important to us all. So we're going to talk about the heart. Now, at the top of your notes, we're going to start with a scripture that at first may not seem to correlate with the heart, but in a little while, you'll start connecting the dots. So let's read out loud with your basso profundo voices and ladies, sopranos, with your strong voices. Let's read together Luke 12:34. Go. Make yourself purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Would you underline purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven? Because he says, where your treasure is, your heart will follow. Yeah. Where your treasure is. So in other words, he's saying, be careful what you treasure, because your heart will follow. Not precede, it'll follow. So here's what he's saying. I was reading that and I thought, make for yourselves purses that don't wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven. I thought, what are you talking about, God? Because I know when you write the scriptures, it's for our instruction, not for our confusion. But sometimes our brain is not quite up to that standard yet to kind of catch what you're saying. So Lord, instruct us. Lord, what do you mean? I thought, purses that don't wear out. Purses, what's a purse? It's like a wallet is a satchel or a place that you hold your values. Your valuables come, your ability to purchase comes out of there. Your identification or identity is there in this purse, your wallet. And then I thought, ah, that's it, Lord. Because you're saying, make for yourselves purses that don't wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven. What's that, Lord? Oh, you're saying that our purses or our hearts need to hold treasures or have values that are like yours in heaven, because heaven's values are unfailing. And if I have wrong values in my purse, my identity is going to be wrapped up with it. And if these things fail, so will my sense of who I am. And I will feel valueless. Or when they fall, because I put my value on a wrong relationship, a wrong thing, wrong accumulating of this position or that getting notoriety or whatever. And when that fails, then I feel valueless, or I feel worth less because I don't have my identity. It's a wrong place where I put my identity. So the Lord is saying, make sure that you have, would you write a number one? Here it is. Establish eternal values in your life. Before you do anything else, if we're going to develop a perfect heart and a whole heart, establish, make sure the values that you have in your purse or your wallet or your heart are eternal values, not failing values, but unfailing. Unfailing treasures in heaven. What does that mean? Wayne, make sure that the treasures you have in your heart, your purse, as it were, are the same values that God holds dear and valuable in heaven. Because then they will be unfailing values. But if I store up treasures on earth, moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal. And what will happen is it will be a failing treasure and I'll feel valueless, worthless from time to time, and I'll lose who I am. This is so important. So he's saying, establish values that are God's values. In other words, what does God value? If you were to write down 20 things that you would say, I know God values this in life, in relationships, and you wrote them down, what would they be? And then God is saying, establish that. Live according to that. Make sure that those are your values. Otherwise, you'll have wrong values. Let's read what it says there in the scriptures right underneath Matthew 6. Go. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy nor thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Again, he says, where your treasure is, there will your what? Heart be also. So he's saying, establish values that are eternal values that are unfailing and thieves can't steal. They can't break, destroy. He's saying, make not contemporary values, eternal values. Not temporary values. Not popular values, not politically correct only values, not even trendy values. Well, my friend's like this, everybody else is like this. Well, I have to be like that too. They all have boyfriends, so I have to have a boyfriend. Yeah, but he's a loser. Yeah, but that makes me someone who has a boyfriend though, so I got a boyfriend. Loser boyfriend, but boyfriend. Not worldly values, eternal values. Would you write in your bullet there, value what God values. Value what God values. Because if you don't, you'll be going after the wrong thing. You'll have wrong values. And God is saying, I don't value that. And you'll be playing with monopoly money. And it will not get you anywhere. And it will fail. And when you do, you feel worthless. Now listen, especially if you're a young sister right here. Please, please listen. If you establish wrong values and you go after that, and when it fails, you feel worthless. Because your values are gone, that you thought were going to be permanent, were not permanent at all. And it sort of left you betwixt in between. betrayed you. You feel valueless. You feel worthless. Your identity is gone. This is so important. But if you establish eternal values, it doesn't matter what people do. You still feel worthy and valuable in God's eyes because you establish the right kind of values. You will be duped, easily deceived when you lose your identity because you're groping in the dark at that point, and you'll be desperate, and desperate people make big mistakes. But if you establish right values, even though someone will do something wrong or break a relationship, you still feel valuable because you've got God's values. You still feel worthwhile. And that's so incredibly important. That person, that mistake has not stolen your identity. Value what God values. Because you're going to be tempted by the world to establish different values, wrong values. Let's read this next one together out of Proverbs 1. Go. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, we shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. What's Proverbs saying? Listen, don't have the same values, because those are failing values. You want to make sure you build for yourself purses that don't wear out with unfailing treasure in heaven. Then you're storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on earth. Because on earth, moth destroy, thieves will steal, but in heaven, can't. And so when I have my treasure the same as heaven's, then I have stored up treasure in heaven. Yeah. And it doesn't matter what the world does, I still sense that there's a value to my life and there's a worthwhileness regardless of what people say or are doing. You got to establish or value what God values. So if you wrote down in a journal, what's 20 things that God would value? Would it be moral purity for you? Would it be honesty? Might it be a relationship with God? You write that down. Being true to what I believe. My marriage is valuable. My family. Honoring my parents. What is it? You write those things down and say, I know God values these in my life, and I'm not quite there. I don't value it as much as God does. Or I might give lip service to it, but that's not my treasure. I've got to make my value my treasure and choose that. Choose that. Why is it so important to establish those values and choose that to be your treasures? Reason? Would you write in the next bullet? Because our hearts will attach itself to what we place value on. This is super important. This is the apex of the whole message. Listen, your heart cannot discern if something is a right value or a wrong value. All it does is if you value it and treasure it, your heart gets attached to it. You can treasure some relationship that's wrong, 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 wrong. But once you start treasuring that, your affections go and stick right to it. Because why? Because I valued that. Whatever you value, remember, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It doesn't say where your heart is, it'll become a treasure. No, what you treasure, your heart will follow. And your heart cannot discern between what's a right value and a wrong value. All it knows is if you see it as a treasure, it attaches itself to it. That's it. And then here's the double whammy. When you attach your heart to something, guess what follows to increase the cement? It's called emotions. Your emotions follow. So you can have a wrong value. But if you establish that as, oh, I just love him. I just want that. Even though it's wrong, what's going to happen? Once you establish that as a value, as a treasure, your heart, bang. And then right after that, bang, your emotions go onto it. Then when your emotions and your heart's attached to something that's wrong, like not your husband, not your wife, not what's right, a person that doesn't have the values of God or the goals of God, or an accumulation of something, or notoriety to be known for, or just to be sort of popular in this with your friends, and you make that as a treasure, I got to be popular, bang, your heart. I mean, as soon as you say, I need to be just loved, that's such a treasure for me, all of a sudden, once you establish that as a value, anybody that pays you any attention at all of a sudden your heart goes, whoa, I got all these boyfriends now. Yeah, but you see, your heart follows after what you treasure. Once you establish or even a wrong value, and then not only your heart gets attached, then what? Your emotions. Oh, I just want this so bad. That's where an addiction can be formed. And then you think later, oh, wait a minute, that's not something God values. It's a wrong value. I made too impetuous of a choice. But if your heart's already attached to this person or that thing or that desire, and your emotions are cementing it even more, do you understand how hard it is to detach from that? Because even though your mind says, wrong, this guy is no good for me, but my heart, I love him so much, I cannot break away. It's a real war. Why? Why did that happen? Why did that inconsistency take place where you know it's wrong, but you can't pull away? It's called an addiction almost. How did that happen? You set wrong values in the beginning. That's why we rewind the tape. And if you want to have a heart that's directed in the right way and a heart that's perfect, you start by not just letting your heart go buckle loose and free. No, you establish right values that are godly values and you make them your treasure. I will treasure these. Why? Because God treasures them. Because God treasures them. Yeah, but nobody else in this society. I treasure them because God treasures them. And once you start to treasure them, guess what happens? Your heart starts attached to those. And then your emotions, and then you become passionate about the things of God. And then God says, you know what? There's a man that's being formed after my own heart because I treasure what he treasures. And when that happens, you watch him open the windows of heaven and begin to bless and begin to give a help to you. And God will support and reinforce you because you're a man or woman after God's own heart. And you become a spokesman for God. You become everything God is wanting for you to be. But you've got to establish or value what God values. And when you do, you have to remember your heart attaches to that. If you don't, it's going to wander and you're going to attach it to the wrong stuff. And then when your emotions get going, oh my goodness. And then you are in a dilemma. But you know the problem is, even that is, though you've got a wrong value, wrong, but your heart is attached to it, you think, man, this is like a war. This is a major problem. This is a dilemma. In our society, we romanticize that problem. We write songs about it. We make it like, oh, it's so nice to have this kind of war in your heart. Oh, it's so nice. Like this one song I was listening to once called Help Me Make It Through the Night. And I thought, what? Listen to this. I don't care what's right or wrong. I won't try to understand. Then it says this, let the devil take tomorrow, but tonight I need a friend. Did you catch those lyrics? I don't know what's right or wrong, and I won't even try for understand. Because it's so weird. Let the devil take tomorrow. I don't care about my future or my forever, because tonight I need a friend. I thought, are you nuts? But we romanticize and we sing that song. Oh, that song's so nice. I like that song. Here's another one. Torn between two lovers, feeling like a fool. Loving both of you has broken all the rules. Well, get it right. Can you believe that? And those become popular songs. Now, I can just keep on going because there's just dozens of them like that. And you think, you know, our society takes the dilemma and the mistakes of wrong values and we make it like, wow, that's so romantic. I thought, no, I can't do that. Because then it keeps us in this dilemma. Because you see, your heart will attach to a value even if it's wrong. And then you get passionate about that because your emotions attach to it. Whew, when that happens. I was talking to Pastor Elwin when he was a judge. I was talking to him about this attachment kind of thing. He said, yeah, there was this lady who had her, it was such a domestic abuse situation. Her boyfriend was using her just for as a sex object and then beat her so silly one day, fractured her skull, busted in her skull, that she had to go into surgery and they had to graft bone to recreate her skull because it was busted in so badly. When she finally healed a little bit, they were in court and they were gonna serve this guy a restraining order to stay away from the girl. When they did, she started crying. No, you cannot do that to my boyfriend. He said, hey, woman, that guy just about killed you.
Yeah, I know, but you cannot take him away from me.
I listened to that. I thought, man, it wasn't your skull that needs help. It's underneath the skull that needs more help.
You have just heard part one of a message entitled Directing Our Hearts by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.